You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 371.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Today we're talking God's Comics, that's
it. Oh my goodness, I thought this show would never come.
Finally, we kept putting this off.
It feels like it was almost 10 years ago. Oh wait, that was the previous show.
Yes, our schedule got very strange, our Flopcast recording schedule.
We kept distracted by They Might Be Giants.
Last week we had to do, a whole They Might Be Giants show in honor of John Linnell's birthday, so we pushed the God's Comics review show out yet another week, but this is that week. We're here. We've arrived finally. This is happening.
We made it.
God's Comics. Before we get to God's Comics, breaking down that whole bizarre evening that we shared, Cornflake, let's start as usual. I don't know what's coming this week. Last week I knew. This week, as usual, I do not. What is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
This week you're just going to be disappointed because okay, of the topic I picked.
Back to business as usual.
Yes.
For National Whatever Day. All right, go ahead and disappoint me.
June 18th is International Sushi Day.
Oh, yeah, that is a little disappointing.
You know why I know I've never brought up International Sushi Day before?
Why is that?
Because I don't like sushi.
All right, let's figure this out. Have you tried it?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes.
You regret it?
It's okay. I don't get what the big deal is.
Yeah, people love this stuff.
People go out of their minds over sushi, and that's fine. That's great. Good for them. I'm not into it. Now, I'm pescatarian these days, and so I don't eat meat, but I still have most seafood, so I can have sushi if I want it, and yet I don't.
Now, if we had Dornell on the show, we would have somebody who's head over heels for sushi.
She is a fan of sushi. Many people are. People love it.
I allow her to like sushi enough for the both of us.
Yeah, there you go.
So, the moral of the story is, if it's International Sushi Day and you don't like sushi, you can give yours to Dornell because she loves it.
Just slide it across the table to Dornell.
Right.
I'm guessing that when she reaches out to grab the sushi, she knocks over several beverages.
Right.
I know how she operates.
Keep your tea and sake close to you.
Always.
But hand over the sushi. That should be your plan.
Well, I remember when we were discussing the Breakfast Club. It's lunchtime during the Breakfast Club, and there's all the kids. They're having their Saturday detention, and they take out their lunches. And Molly Ringwald's character, Claire, takes out sushi. And it's like a punchline in the movie that look at this girl, this preppy, popular girl, with this absurd lunch. She's actually eating sushi. And it just seemed absurd in the mid-80s. And it's one of those things that not a big deal at all anymore, I would think, you know? If the kid breaks out some sushi, who cares? So it's a sign of how far this stuff has come over the last 30 years.
There is one thing I appreciate about sushi. It's presentation. It is food art.
Yes.
And as long as I don't have to eat it, I can appreciate how cool it looks.
I just like to stare at it.
I will stare at sushi.
Creepily, until it's uncomfortable.
Yes, I make sushi feel uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah, I get that. And then also, and I think we may have mentioned this on the show before as well, but Saturday Night Live, and this would have been in the mid to late 80s, I think, did a commercial parody, like a McDonald's commercial, for McSushi.
McSushi.
As if McDonald's is selling McSushi, which was crazy at the time. But again, would that be so shocking today if they offered sushi?
It wouldn't.
Maybe they do. I'd have no idea. I don't go to McDonald's.
Nor do I.
Haven't been there in years. It might be nothing but sushi at this point.
McSushi.
I would not get that memo.
Uncooked fish fingers.
I remember like Jan Hooks and then that SNL cast all singing a McSushi song.
Oh, I don't remember there being a song. That is...
There was a song, yes.
So maybe for International Sushi Day, I'll look that up. But at any rate, for those of you who are into sushi...
Right.
June 18th is your day. All across the world.
There you go. You and I will sit it out.
Yeah.
We're just going to relax with our coffee. Say, Cornflake, as you know, I'm in a band. I'm in a couple of bands.
You're in a few, yeah.
At least. But we have the Sponge Awareness Foundation, my longtime comedy band, Sponge Awareness Foundation. But then I also started a second band back in the late 90s called God's Comics. And this kind of grew out of my open mic night that I used to host, open mic night. And I got together with a couple of my regular performers, Sean and Adam, and we formed God's Comics. We were a cover band, but all we covered was Men at Work and Elvis Costello, because that's what we liked.
Because what else do you need?
That's all you need.
Right.
And we did a show back then. We did a big, full show, an evening of God's Comics. We did all our favorite Men at Work and Elvis Costello songs. It was a magic evening, and everybody had such a great time that we announced, you know what, let's do this again in 10 years. Now we leap ahead to the year 2009, and true to our word, God's Comic Show number 2 occurred.
I really appreciate the way that you committed to that, because Elvis Costello and Men at Work, those are some mighty fun tunes. You could have emerged before then, but you waited all the way till 2009. You
wait.
Kept your word.
Yes, we wanted people to just go out of their minds waiting, building that anticipation for our second show. We did the second show, and we announced once again, 10 years, we'll do it again. This was the year, 2019, another 10 years. Did you just spill your iced coffee?
I did.
You're just raving about how much you love your iced coffee. You love it so much that you're just pouring it all over your torso at this
yes.
point. Look at that.
It's torso coffee now.
Why not? Anyway, 2019, it was time for another God's Comic Show. If you've been listening to this show over the last several weeks, you heard us talking about it. We had Sean from God's Comics on the show a few weeks ago. And the show has happened. We did God's Comics Show number 3. It happened just a few weeks ago in Lowell, Massachusetts.
At the Hearing Room.
The Hearing Room. And you were there. And so I thought today, finally, let's talk about what happened. You were there for my big God's Comics Show number 3.
And it's the first God's Comics Show I've ever made it to.
First one for you.
After knowing you all these years.
Third one for me. Yeah, it was the place called The Hearing Room. This was a venue that Sean had performed at before, because Sean Fullerton is a solo performer most of the time, and he's out playing constantly. I'd never been there before. You'd never been there before.
I had not, no.
Yeah, so a relatively new room, because I used to lurk around the Lowell art scene back in the day, the early days of Sponge Awareness Foundation. We were a Lowell band, but I certainly had never been to this place, The Hearing Room. What a nice room.
It was really nice.
Man. So much stuff to look at. The
yeah.
art all over the walls.
And books.
Tons of bookshelves with all sorts of weird books everywhere. Everywhere you looked, you'd see some strange new thing that you hadn't seen before.
Some really neat plantscapes made out of aquariums.
Yeah. A very cool room. I really liked it. Hope to get back up there.
And snacks. They had that popcorn machine out in the other room. And
they were bringing out popcorn for the people. I believe it's Mark and Kaylin were the people that were running the place. And
they were so nice.
They were great. So, yeah, we love the venue.
Lots of neat things to see. I have to say that one of the things I liked most about it
yeah.
is there was a couch to sit on to enjoy the show.
I noticed that you grabbed the couch. There was that nice couch kind of dead center, beautiful
and
view of the stage.
Nobody else took it. I think everybody else is feeling a little bit self-conscious.
That was definitely a cornflake kind of a spot from which to watch the show.
Oh, it was glorious.
So it seemed perfectly appropriate when I saw you take your spot on the couch. You and surprise guest Doornail. You brought Doornail along.
I did. I called her the day beforehand and I said, hey, Doornail, what are you doing tomorrow night?
I had no idea Doornail was going to be there, and I had not even seen Doornail in such a long time. So that was wonderful. Longtime Flopcast correspondent Doornail. We just had her on the show, although I wasn't there for that recording, but
right.
we just heard you and Doornail talking MarsCon a couple of weeks ago. So it was so great to have Doornail there. Before you got there, I should say, because you got there just in time. You rolled in, 8 o'clock show. You were there at like 7:58, which was fine. That
that's
was
so
great.
Much better than I normally do.
Oh, yeah, for you, that's super early. But before you got there, several people, easily 2 or 3 people, came up to me and asked, is Cornflake coming?
Aw.
And I had to say, I think so. I hope so. She wants to be here. I said, I know she's intending to be here. However, in the world of Cornflake, often strange, unexpected things will happen that will prevent her from showing up somewhere that she has every intention of being. So
yes.
let's hope she arrives, but if she's not here, it just means something happened, because that's how her life works. So let's hope.
In this case, I almost got lost. I almost ended up at the bar down the street by accident.
Oh, well, that would have worked out. Lowell has a thriving creepy dive bar scene happening.
So true. A dive bar in Lowell is not where I want it to be. But yes, I wasn't about to let anything get in the way of me getting to this God's Comic Show. I was so, so excited about it, Kevin. And even more excited when Dornell was like, yeah, sure, I'll come with you to the show. And then when we came into the room, and of course, like you said, it was right before the show, so anybody could have taken that couch.
I'm before. Still on the couch. So excited about this couch.
It's like, wow, I can't believe that's fun. And, yeah. And I asked, like, is this seat taken? And it wasn't.
This must be reserved for some kind of VIPs. I thought you took it a step too far when you and Dornell picked up the couch at the end of the night and walked out with it. I think that you shouldn't have done that.
I wanted to see if I could, in fact, strap it over the top of my car and bring it home. Alas, I could not, so we had to bring it back to the venue. Yeah. But well, what?
You brought it back, Garrett. That was nice.
I wanted them to invite us back at some point, but wow, when I walked into the room and I saw that, like, Jacob Holler was there. And
Jacob, we hadn't seen in a long time either, and yeah, I was very happy to see Jacob there as well. Longtime friend of the Flopcast.
Yeah.
And he's been on the Flopcast because he is a musician as well and podcaster as well, based out of Rhode Island. So he came all the way up from deep in Rhode Island, way up to northern Massachusetts to join us up in Lowell. Delighted that he had made that journey.
And Dan and Ann Hart.
Dan Hart, another singer-songwriter and someone else who Sponge Awareness Foundation have collaborated with and done shows with many times. And yeah, Dan and his wife, Anne, also showed up. And I hadn't seen them in person in quite a while either. So many people I hadn't seen in a long time were gathering for this God's Comic Show.
I hadn't seen Dan since he did, I think it was FumpFest 2015. He was a guest.
Oh, wow. So you had to go all the way out to Chicago to see Dan.
I did.
Even though he's Massachusetts-based like us.
I had not seen him since. And man, that was a treat for me. Yeah. Dan and Anne are some of my most favorite people in the world.
Absolutely.
So I was excited to see them there. You got a good turnout for that show.
Yeah, I mean, it was a small audience, but a great audience. And so many fantastic old friends of ours.
So many hugs.
I'm telling you, anytime anybody makes the effort to show up anywhere, that's fantastic. You know, after all these years of putting on goofy shows the way you and I have, you know, I take no offense. If you don't show up for my show, I'm fine with that because I get it. We're not living off of ticket sales. It's not easy to get out to goofy shows like this. So when people actually go to all that time and trouble to do it, I am honored. A guy named Pete, who we used to hang out at the Grind. I had not seen Pete, I think, in 20 years, probably. Not since the first God's Comic Show. But Pete and his girlfriend were there. The mayor was there, of course, Mayor of Chickentown. Sarah is an old friend of mine, and I had no idea Sarah was going to be there. She was there, and she's a regular Flopcast listener as well.
I met her.
She was very excited to meet you.
That was neat.
She hears your voice here on our goofy little show every week.
She's among our biggest fans.
I think she was a little starstruck meeting Cornflake.
Oh, stop. You know, I'm trying to think back. I know that you and Sean and probably Adam have seen each other more recently. I can't remember the last time I saw Sean and Adam in person.
Probably been quite a while for you. Those are, yeah, great guys. And yeah, I've seen them not crazy long ago. But that said, not often enough. And one of the best things about doing this show is that we had to rehearse for the show. And we rehearsed for the show. We did three big rehearsals for this show.
Yeah, Sean strikes me as a no-nonsense musician.
Sean likes to be
prepared
and rehearsed, which was great. We did that show after these messages back in the fall. It was me and Ed and Mikey and Carl. And we did our concert of TV theme songs. You were there.
Yes.
And that was fun and that was goofy. But because of our schedules, it was very difficult to rehearse for that show. We did like half a rehearsal for that show, and it showed. We were very much under-rehearsed that night.
Nobody had any less fun because of it.
Oh, no, it was fine. It was fine. It was a silly, goofy night, and it was great. This show, I feel like we were actually properly rehearsed.
Yeah.
So we did three long, full rehearsals for this. And at the end of each one of those rehearsals, pack up the equipment, and we were just hanging out for a long time, like a couple of hours, you know, and they kept saying, oh, we're keeping you up. Look how late it is. And I kept saying, guys, how often do we get to hang out like this and just goof around and talk? So this is fine, you know? Yeah, it's late, but how often do you get to just hang out with old friends like this? And that's kind of what this whole night was about. It was seeing all these old friends gathering for a weird night of music, because this is God's Comics. For this show, we added a third band to cover, because the first two shows we just did Elvis Costello and Men at Work. Although, I guess actually that's a lie, because at the very first Gods Comic Show, we also did a couple of Weird Al songs.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I kind of keep that out of the narrative of the band, but we sneaked a couple of Weird Al songs into the 99 show. I believe we did One More Minute, and we did The Saga Begins. For this show, anyway, we're doing Elvis Costello, we're doing Men at Work, and we added the Monkees, because we are all massive Monkees fans as right. well. So we thought, let's throw some Monkees in as well. In honor of Peter Tork, I think, was the idea.
Yes.
This was a tribute to the late, great Peter Tork. We're doing some Monkees at this show.
And when you had mentioned that there were going to be some Monkees songs,
yeah.
I thought, how is that going to blend with Men at Work and Elvis Costello tunes? And
yeah, surprisingly well. Surprisingly well. See that? We said it together.
Yeah. Because
that's how it worked. And of course, you got Sean's guitars tying the whole thing together.
Yeah.
The sound of the band was all Sean on his wonderful guitars, and he has those effects pedals. He loops the guitar and kind of, you know, becomes his own.
Yeah, there was a whole conversation on looping.
Becomes his own rhythm section and does some leads over his looping guitar sounds. Here's the set list. I have a copy of the set list right in front of me here. Anything pop out at you? What were any highlights from our goofy little show?
Oh, I was told at the beginning of Daydream Believer that a very obscure song was about to play, and we probably wouldn't know the words to
right.
it.
Right. I believe I did introduce the song thusly. That's what you call misdirection.
Yeah. But everybody wanted to sing along.
Yeah.
I really love how It's a Mistake came out.
It's a Mistake, a Men at Work classic. I can handle Elvis Costello vocals pretty well. Men at Work can be a challenge. Colin Hay has that crazy Colin Hay voice, and
yes.
he can just suddenly leap up an octave, and it still sounds great, but I can't do that. So
Sean helped with that.
You notice that there are some of the Men at Work songs, I would suddenly take a step back at the end of the song, and Sean takes over the lead vocals because he yes. could hit the notes that I could not.
I really liked your version of Who Can It Be Now.
That's a fun one to do, of course. Who Can It Be Now? Yeah, we did Down Under and Overkill, all that stuff. With the Monkees songs, we were leaning on Adam to take care of the lead on a lot of the Monkees stuff. He can do the Mickey Dolenz high notes way better than I could.
And somehow I didn't know that God's Comic was a song from Elvis Costello that...
Yeah, not a well-known song.
Drove the name of the band.
We named the band God's Comics after the Elvis Costello song, God's Comic. That's from the Spike album. That was the album from 89, the one that Veronica was on.
Yes.
And yeah, that's what we took the name of the band from. But yeah, we opened with that song. But yeah, that was not a song that many people know, but a good one, a weird one. It's a weird, creepy song.
And you pick some deep cuts, and
yeah.
I think with Elvis Costello in particular, mm-hmm. there are quite a few deep cuts you could have picked. And so I was delighted when you guys did Veronica.
Veronica was the only top 10 song Elvis ever had in America. Even though there are songs that are considered classics from Elvis in America, but they were never actually top 40 songs, like Allison, which we did. And even some other ones that we didn't do, like Pump It Up. And you know, he has a few like that that people know.
And it wasn't until I heard your rendition of Be Good Johnny that I understood what the lyrics to the song were.
Uh-huh. Be Good Johnny from Men at Work. That was one of our encore songs. Yeah, that's a fun one. I did a couple of Mike Nesmith Monkees songs also, which I was very happy about when Sean suggested we do some Nesmith. That was fun. Papa Jean's Blues. So yeah, it was a good mix of stuff people knew and maybe some stuff that, unless you were a super fan, there were probably a few songs that people would not know from all three of these acts.
And some good stories behind the songs. I liked the trivia.
Yeah, we allowed some time to goof off between songs. The God's Comic Show is intended to be rather goofy
yes.
overall. I think when Sean made the list, like, how many songs are we going to do? And he said, we have to factor in, we got to allow for some goof-off time, which I think we did.
Goof-off time between songs, and also some goof-off time during songs, I noticed, with a certain rubber chicken that was involved.
Oh, right. I forgot about the chicken. Glad you brought that up.
You forgot about the chicken?
Yes. Well, I was supposed to play the melodica at the show. That was the plan.
I wasn't sure if this was going to come up in the conversation,
but
it was a conspicuous absence.
Yeah, there were two or three songs where ideally I should have been playing the melodica, and I think especially the Men at Work songs, like Who Can It Be Now, maybe, or Overkill, certainly, Down Under. Those Men at Work songs that have the saxophone parts, or in the case of Down Under, the flute part. Wouldn't it have been lovely for me to break out that melodica as if I was on stage with the Hooters and throw some melodica lines in. However, the problem is I'm a really bad melodica player.
Mm.
And it's a project for me to successfully play any of those parts. And I was so busy through the whole month of May that I had no time to learn my melodica parts. John wanted me to bring the melodica anyway. He said, bring it along. We'll just have it on stage just because it looks funny. And I didn't even bring it because I thought I'll be too tempted to try to play it if it's on stage. And that would not go well.
You know your limits and you admitted melodica defeat.
Yes. I did, however, bring a rubber chicken.
Yeah, you did.
And it's a squeak chicken. This chicken actually, you know, makes the squeaking sound. Brought the chicken and incorporated that into a song or two. By incorporated, I mean ruined.
Yes.
But yeah, we're trying to be goofy, though, so it's fine. Got to play the rubber chicken sometimes.
It was the rubber chicken. And also, it happened that the night that we interviewed Sean on the Flopcast was International Wine Day.
Yes.
And Sean wasn't there for the wine part. And
oh, yeah, that was the same show where you brought up all those weird little boxes of wine to the studio.
Everybody got wine but Sean. Yeah.
Which we still have, by the way. Most of that wine is still...
You should have brought some for Sean because I didn't hear the end of it.
It's still on reserve, piled up here in the studio. All those weird boxes of wine that you brought.
Like somewhere in the middle of the set, it was, hey, Cornflake, where's my wine?
That's right. Sean heard the show.
I didn't mean to not give you any.
Sean listened to that episode that his interview was on and realized he missed out on the wine. That is correct. Well, what a lovely evening we had. So thanks to the people that were there and the people that weren't there. I heard from people that really wanted to go and were not able to go as well. Even Ed from Sponge Awareness. I got a nice Turks from Ed. He wanted to be there.
Oh, I had the best time at that show.
I'm glad you were there too. And speaking of people who were there, we mentioned my friend Sarah.
Yes.
Was there. And Sarah is a writer, a very funny woman, and she's done some stand-up comedy in her time. I've seen her on stage doing stand-up comedy a time or two.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And, we should mention, did you notice I was wearing my Robillard from Mars shirt?
Yes.
For the Gods Comic Show, which at least one person in the room recognized immediately, that being Adam Fullerton from Gods Comics. He knew Robillard, saw the shirt, and started doing the commercial. He knew every line.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, he's like us. He's one of us.
Yes.
Adam knows Robillard from Mars. Anyway, Sarah knows Robillard from Mars also, especially because she listens to the Flopcast. And end of the show, Sarah invited me back to her house. She said, hey, come on back to the house. Let's hang out. I have earth fruit.
Oh, nice.
Just like Robillard would want after a show. Let's go have some earth fruit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I kind of nudged Dornell at the beginning of the show, and I said, look at his shirt. It's got Robillard on it. And Dornell was like, what?
Dornell doesn't know
Robillard. Listen to more of our shows. You will know who Robillard is.
So, of course, I said, yes, absolutely, Sarah. Let's go have some earth fruit.
You went and had some earth fruit.
That's the kind of wild rock and roll lifestyle I'm leading. You know, that's what happens after a big concert like this. You go have some earth fruit.
Wow.
And we have audio evidence of this earth fruit session with Sarah.
It was a whole earth fruit session.
Yes, which we recorded for the show.
Super.
Yes. So, well, we've had a lot of guests on the Flopcast lately, in the last few weeks.
It's almost like we like people suddenly. Right?
We had Dornell. We had Sean from God's Comics. We had Brittany just in the last few weeks. And here we go again, because here's Sarah. Are you ready for this?
I am so ready for this.
This is post God's Comics. This is me and my friend Sarah. Sarah, hey.
Hi.
This is a post God's Comic show.
Oh, it was such a great show. I feel sorry for anyone who wasn't there.
Sarah surprised me by showing up at the God's Comic show, and we were delighted to see you there. And a longtime listener of the Flopcast, I understand.
I've listened to every episode, and I expect everyone else who listens to the Flopcast has also listened to
and
every episode.
We've been talking for years about having you on the Flopcast, and we never do it. It's a weird time to do the show because I just did my concert. The show ended and we're packing up our stuff and I didn't have much to pack up, you know, because Sean has all his guitars and effects and stuff and he has to do all the heavy lifting. All I had was a rubber chicken. So I was able to just walk right out the door, you know, have fun packing up all the stage stuff, guys. And I'm gone, you know, because what do I care? But Sarah, you were there for the show and then you lured me back to your home after the show with promises of earth fruit.
Yeah, and I did deliver.
We're munching on some earth fruit here right now because I wore my Robillard from Mars shirt for the Gods Comic Show. I believe that was your first Gods comic show.
Yes, yes, but I certainly hope to make the next one. I'm a little embarrassed now that it's taken me this long to actually see you do a live performance.
You've never been to a Sponge Awareness show or anything.
No.
It's your first time seeing me do something weird live in front of an audience.
Yes. I still haven't seen you juggle spam. Maybe next time.
Someday.
I hope everyone makes the next one. All the listeners.
We all have 10 years to prepare for the next Gods comic show. We go back a long time now, though, you and me.
Oh, yes.
We met through Boston Skeptics, right?
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah. In fact, I think I got married fairly soon after I'd met you and the mayor, because I remember saying, we're getting married. Do you want us to send you a wedding invitation? And you said, yeah. Because I didn't know you well enough at the time like that. I would automatically include you.
Yeah, we accept all invitations to anything.
Well, if there's free food involved, then
that's
yes.
Right. Do you have earth fruit? Is this an earth fruit wedding?
You know, I don't think we did have earth fruit at the wedding, but... if I ever do have another really big event, then yep. I'll have some earth fruit.
Gotta have the earth fruit.
I think you were at my ugly sweater party, and I think yes. You did have fruit.
Yes, I was at the ugly sweater party. I had a chicken sweater, remember?
Yes, and it was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think all of the guests had wonderful, wonderful festive attire.
Yep.
And I did think of you a bit when I was playing the party, you and the mayor, because there was a flamingo on the invitation, because yes. I think that's such a great tacky symbol. I'm like, oh, okay, birds. Okay, that will lure Kevin and Felicity here.
I know bird people.
Yes, I do know bird people.
And yes, we were hanging out through Boston Skeptics over the years.
That's right.
And but then it turned out we were also both tragically obsessed with silver spoons.
I don't know if I want to call myself obsessed, but I do have kind of a train wreck sort of interest in some of these old TV series. Like, okay, I know that they are extremely campy and objectively not good, but they're interesting.
Yes, a goofy 80s sitcom you have an appreciation for, as
yes.
I do.
I'm pretty sure that I could sit through more episodes of Silver Spoon as an adult than I ever could Different Strokes.
And we have.
Yes.
We're not kidding. You and I have gotten together for Silver Spoon's marathons.
Yes, and you made Lime Rickeys. I remember that
much. We made special, in honor of Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons, we had Lime Rickeys, and we watched Silver Spoons episodes, just one after another.
Yeah, there are only a handful that I could remember from when I was a kid, but, you know, it is fun to take a trip down nostalgia lane. Even though I'm sure you'll agree with me, Kevin, nostalgia ain't what it used to be. My life came to a full circle because... You know, as you know, my daughter, she's 6. She's very interested in My Little Pony. And there's a character named Silver Spoon.
Really?
That we were just reading about in one of the My Little Pony comic books.
Did you use that as a wedge to get her into the old Silver Spoon show?
I did not.
That's not going to
work. Maybe I should
have. It's not going to work. I predict she'll have zero interest in Silver Spoon's the sitcom. But and I love it.
You know what? The character Silver Spoon may well be the Dexter of My Little Pony because she's supposed to be kind of a rich snob.
Do you prefer early Silver Spoons with young Ricky Schroeder, or do you like later era where he's a teenager and they've got Alfonso and everybody's breakdancing?
I'd have to say the later ones.
You like the later ones?
And I especially like Dexter. I think he's easily the funniest character.
Right, because Dexter wasn't around for season one.
I think before that they had this lawyer guy.
Leonard.
I don't know exactly what Dexter is. Is he like more of an accountant? That was my introduction to the Harvard accent.
Oh, yeah. Have you considered installing a train in your house that you can ride from the backyard right into your living room?
That would be so fun. I think I would love that too much.
Yeah. You need a giant crayon, a duck phone. Have you considered getting a duck phone?
I bet there's an app on the iPhone to simulate that.
Oh, sure there is. I have a turkey app on my phone.
Yes, I know. So every time somebody calls or texts you, it's a turkst.
I get a turkst, yeah. Mm-hmm. You could get a duckst.
Speaking of duxting, which I'm sure is going to be the next thing, this is not that new, but it's new to me. The reboot of DuckTales.
Are they rebooting DuckTales?
They did reboot it. This is not a new thing. It's from 2017, but I've been watching it recently. And I found out about it from my friend, the Nostalgia Critic, and he said this is basically one of the only reboots done right, which got me intrigued.
Is Ricky Schroeder doing any of the voices on it?
I'll have to look that up, but I don't think he is. I would have heard of it by now. So my mom, she lives in Israel, by the way. She loves the melodious sound of Kevin's voice when I've had her listen to the Flopcast in the car.
Oh, they love me in Israel.
Well, I know she does. I know she loves the sound of your voice.
I've been to Israel.
Yes.
I spent some time there.
Have you met my mom there?
I was asked to leave.
Somehow I doubt that. But that is pretty cool that you went there. So
I did go there.
So you and Cornflake were talking about 80s music in the more gestalt sense.
Yes.
So I said to my mom, who, by the way, is really old, I said, Mom, what is your favorite song from the 80s? And she says, I don't know. All those decades just kind of blend together for me. And I said, so I guess Back to the Future made no sense to you.
All right, back to Silver Spoons.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Gods Comics.
Gods Comics. Okay. No, we'll get back to Gods Comics.
Yeah. it's always coming back to Silver Spoons.
It's all Silver Spoons. We have to have another Silver Spoons marathon sometime.
That would be great.
Yeah. I think the mistake we made last time was we watched the same episodes as our previous Silver Spoons marathon.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
We always want to see the same ones.
I guess I want to watch the Dexter heavy ones. Yeah. I don't remember doing double dipping like that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I always want to see Mr. T.
He also did Different Strokes, didn't he?
Oh, sure he did. I think he did Silver Spoons first. Mm-hmm. And that was very early in the Mr. T era.
Ah.
And Ricky was being bullied at school. And so Eddie, Ricky's father, hired Mr. T to be Ricky's bodyguard.
Like you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic.
I think there was a very famous episode of Different Strokes in which Arnold was beaten up by an off-screen bully, which is the best kind.
The gooch.
Yeah, exactly. So how come they didn't do the same for him?
Yeah, Mr. T was on Different Strokes because they were filming an episode of the A-Team in the Drummond household for some reason.
Of course they do.
And then Gary Coleman shaves his head into a mohawk.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do. I have the vaguest recollections, but yes.
Yeah, so that was good. So I always want to see the Mr. T episode of Silver Spoons. There's the Menudo episode.
I do remember. Yeah, I think I saw that with you.
Yeah,
in
Ricky gets Menudo.
So is Ricky Martin in Menudo at this point? Like Ricky versus Ricky?
I don't think Ricky Martin was in that episode. I think we looked it up and figured out that he was not.
That is the kind of thing I would have demanded to know.
Yeah, I think we looked it up at the time. But yeah, there's the Menudo episode. There's we watched Whitney Houston last time.
Yes, because I knew that to be. That was one that I remembered from when I was a kid.
Yeah, there's Dexter's in love with Whitney Houston. That
yeah.
was a classic
and
episode.
I don't blame him. You know, she was a beautiful woman. Nice pipes.
Oh, yeah. So Dexter was going to leave the Strattons and just follow Whitney Houston.
Yeah, although between you and me, I think Dexter might have been better off with a woman who's, I don't know, more cerebral.
Yeah.
I have no idea how cerebral Whitney Houston is, but that's the point. Like, you know, if she were, you'd know about it.
Yeah. So you prefer the Alfonso Ribeiro era to the Jason Bateman era?
Yeah, although it could be not really reflective of the best friends as so much as, okay, now Ricky's a teenager, so he gets into situations that are a little more interesting. Although Jason Bateman was great.
So great. Derek.
And Jason he still is.
Yeah, that's really what turned Jason Bateman into a major force, a star. Look at this kid on Silver Spoons, this new Eddie Haskell, weaselly friend type, and he was stealing the show.
Well, the last thing I saw him in was, I guess, Horrible Bosses.
Yep. And he has a show called Ozark, a TV series that's really good. And this is like dark, creepy Jason Bateman.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I have not seen it, but, you know, speaking of nostalgiaism, you remember the Hogan family or Valerie's family,
oh, sure.
whatever it was called.
Also with Jason Bateman.
Now, I was too young to be hormonal that age, but I do know Jason Bateman was considered to be a real heartthrob. And so I guess you're old enough to remember when all of your female friends were swooning over him and Kirk Cameron.
We were all swooning.
So all them, boys and girls.
Yes, okay. All of us over Hogan family era Jason Bateman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were a nation obsessed.
Well, I was too young to feel that way about guys, but yeah, I can see it. Any guy who kills his boss has got to be, you know, worthy of me having a crush on.
Going back to God's Comics, we were doing Monkey Songs, we were doing Elvis Costello songs, we were doing Men at Work.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite of those three?
Oh, gosh. It's like you're asking me which is my favorite child.
Yeah. Well, you only have the one kid, so I know the answer to that question.
Okay, that is a good point.
Yeah,
that's an easy one. Maybe someday she can be on the Flopcast, too. You could pick her brain.
Someday.
Because like you, she also enjoys comic books.
Oh, good.
Where was I going with this? You know, in all of those cases, I never actually bought one of their albums.
Yeah.
Although my brother had the famous Men at Work album, and I remember listening to that with him quite a bit. And that was kind of my awareness, like, oh, people live in Australia.
Yes.
Isn't that cute?
That's how you learned that Australia existed, was through
like,
the Men at Work album.
I kind of knew it existed, but I kind of figured it was remote and empty, and it is.
You didn't
I was right about that.
You didn't realize how important it was until you heard Men at Work.
I will say something about Australia, having never been there, but it must be stocked with some really hot guys, because anytime I see like a smoking hot guy in a movie or a TV show or some such, dude's from Australia.
Especially those guys from Air Supply.
I can't think of what they look like, but yeah.
I'm getting the impression that you're not really into any of the bands that we were covering.
No, as in really into, no, but I do certainly appreciate them. Yeah. I wouldn't say I was a fan of any one of those three groups, but I do enjoy them a lot.
You have been happier if we just played the Silver Spoons theme for 2 hours.
No.
Because I think I would.
Because I think eventually I would have said, okay, I've had enough, although I do appreciate the creativity. Yeah.
See, this is where we disagree, because I think I would have preferred if we'd just done Silver Spoons for 2 hours.
Well, it's a real Shonda that you don't like Family Guy, because I probably told you they did an 80s TV theme medley and included Silver Spoons.
As they should.
Yes. But yes, I like Elvis Costello. I like the Monkees. He didn't do Pleasant Valley Sunday, which is my favorite of theirs.
That's one of the best.
But I forgive you.
Yeah, we probably should have done that.
Maybe in 10 years.
We have 10 years to learn how to play Pleasant Valley Sunday just for you. We will do that. I promise.
Yeah, maybe your bandmates can wheel you in on one of them giant beds down the street.
Yeah. That'd be good. Or we can
make an entrance.
The superhero costumes that they wear sometimes would be good also. The Monkey Men.
Well, one thing I did not know about the Monkees until relatively recently is just how groundbreaking their TV series was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how they're basically the first TV series to do fourth wall jokes and do really fast-paced
gags. Quick cuts to visual gags and stuff. And
they pioneered all those things.
Yeah, that was very unusual at the time. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really got to hand it to anyone who broke the fourth wall, because that must have been mind-blowing at the time. Like, now we're kind of used to it.
Oh, yeah.
Did Donna Reed ever do that? Probably
never.
Not.
People used to have attention spans, and they could watch long, slow things, and now we can't.
Well,
we need quick monkey-style quick cuts of everything.
I suppose during the Cold War, you were just kind of used to being more patient and doing more waiting.
Yes. Everybody was just hanging around waiting, watching Donna Reed. Absolutely right.
I've only seen Donna Reed once. Have you ever seen her series?
Never.
Yeah. And to her credit, it was kind of a feminist episode.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, I bet you wouldn't have thought of that.
I don't think I've seen any Donna Reed, actually. I was too busy with Silver Spoons, you know? Have you ever met any of the cast members of Silver Spoons?
No, but I know you've met Erin Gray on more than one occasion.
I've met Erin.
You've met her. Oh, what was the science fiction character she plays?
She was on Buck Rogers.
Yeah, you keep telling me that, and I keep forgetting.
Yeah, she played Wilma Deering on Buck Rogers. And all those nerd conventions I go to, you know, Erin is often a guest at those things. So I've gotten to talk to her a few times.
Am I remembering right? Like, she's also interested in some kind of pseudo medicine,
pseudoscience. Yeah. She's way into all that stuff.
Yeah.
And again, lovely lady. She's great. But yeah, she believes in some stuff that you and I, as members of the Boston Skeptics, are a little better informed about. But
no one's
but
perfect.
She's great.
I'm sure anyone listening can think of celebrities who they are fans of, but maybe they disagree with something that lies outside of their talents.
This Earth fruit is fantastic, by the way, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. I didn't grow it myself, but it is from Earth. I wasn't lying.
Yeah. Robillard could land in your yard at any moment.
So do you have a favorite episode of Silver Spoons or just anything heavy on Erin Gray?
Wow, so many.
Any heavy King episodes.
The Erin Gray heavy episodes.
Yeah.
Isn't there one? There's one where there's a fantasy sequence. Was it Ricky's the president? And then Erin Gray is his assistant, but she's dressed in a little form-fitting aerobics uniform.
So he kind of had a crush on her then.
Evidently.
It's a little creepy factoring in that she became his stepmother, but I guess we're willing to look the other way.
Yeah.
I think that may be a trope, fantasizing that you're the president when you're a kid on TV.
One of my favorites is, I always go back to Ricky's having a sleepover with all his friends, you know, Derek and Freddie and JT, his creepy friends, and they want to watch a naughty movie on cable. Ricky's father locks the cable box so that they can't watch the naked adult channels.
Our younger listeners are not going to understand this.
But they managed to steal the thing to unlock the cable so they could watch a movie. And the name of the movie, Naked Nurses from Outer Space.
Going back to the aliens.
See?
Let me guess, did hijinks ensue?
They did.
Did the father catch them?
It ended with Robillard landing. With the naked nurses.
We did have cable. We didn't have any of the naked channels. But when I was, we're talking about the early 90s, Beavis and Butthead era, we did have cable. And my stepbrother, this is all a pre-internet era, he did watch the scrambled porn channel.
That's a good channel.
I guess if you're desperate enough, you don't mind too much that it's scrambled if you really are that desperate. Because you can see what's going on, kind of.
Kids today will never appreciate
the
magic of the scrambled porn channel.
I don't think kids today need to work at all for their porn. They don't need to actually put any kind of planning into it.
Yeah. We used to get the scrambled Silver Spoons channel. That's what a strict household I grew up in.
So they didn't like the raunchiness of silver spoons in your house.
Yeah, they didn't want to see Erin Gray in an aerobics costume.
Oh, that was what we all wore in the 80s all the time. Absolutely. We all wore those leotards and leg warmers, you know, even when we were just in the office.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go down at Dragon Con every year. Erin Gray teaches a Tai Chi class.
Ah.
And I wanted to sign up for it.
Just to see her in the outfit.
Just for the outfit. Well, I thought it would be a funny experience. You know, imagine getting a Tai Chi class from Erin Gray from Silver Spoons.
No, you'll never not bring up that story. That's always going to come in useful.
I was not able to do it, though, because by the time I had my schedule for what panels and stuff I was doing, her class was full.
Well, maybe next time, right?
I'm going to try again. It's probably going to happen every year, is that I'm waiting for my schedule and then her class is full. But I'll keep trying.
But I know how you feel, Kevin, because you know what a huge fan I was of the Colbert Report.
Yes.
And I read that in real life, not on the show. Stephen Colbert taught a Sunday school class at a Catholic school, Catholic kids. And bearing in mind that I'm not a friend of religion, I would have happily have taken that class just because he was teaching.
Sure, just for Colbert.
Yeah, even though I'm not really a fan of the Catholic Church.
We were just celebrating Colbert on the Flopcast recently because he had a birthday. That was a whatever day recently.
And I remember Cornflake asking if he'd had his ice cream, American Dream.
Right, right.
And it is really good. I have to.
Is it?
I gotta tell you.
Yeah, there was a Ben and Jerry Stephen Colbert ice cream.
It's so good. It's like the Statue of Liberty and Uncle Sam having a party in your mouth. American Dream.
That sounds perverse.
Perversely patriotic. when Obama was inaugurated in 2009, I went to a party and I brought that because I figured, oh, it's patriotic.
Would you describe tonight's God's Comic Show as perversely patriotic?
Well, you know, Elvis Costello is British.
Yes.
So that, and on Men at Work are Australian.
Yeah, we were all over the place. An internationally flavored show this was. I didn't even think about
it. It was at that. I guess you could say, okay, we're celebrating the whole English-speaking world.
That's right.
So I think you also need to include one from every English-speaking country. Like you need a New Zealander band.
Sure, that'd be Crowded
You need
House.
A South African. I don't know who performs from South Africa, but I'm sure somebody does.
I think Bon Jovi is from South Africa.
I have trouble believing that, but okay. I realize you're going to hate me for this, but I was never a fan of his.
Of Bon Jovi?
No, I don't like him. No, I don't like his music, I mean.
That's okay.
But he was on Sex and the City. That's kind of interesting.
I love talking to you, Sarah, because the conversation is like being inside a pinball machine.
I think that's good.
It's really good.
Because I've never heard anyone say they dislike pinball. I hear people say they like pinball.
Love it. Absolutely.
Pinball, it is pretty fun. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I'm just going to take that as a compliment. And
Well, again, I was so delighted to see you at the show tonight because you didn't tell me you were coming. It was just a surprise when you came in.
I figured Kevin's not going to be surprised because this is almost literally down the street from me.
You were very close, but nevertheless, I didn't know you were coming. And I was so happy to see you there.
Aw.
And you stayed for the whole show?
Yes. If I'd had my daughter with me, I might have had to duck out early.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah,
so
but now, how old is she now?
She's 6.
Yes, yeah, so now that she's old enough to stay home by herself, while mom goes out for some rock and roll, now it's fine. You can stay out.
I just left her in the house with some oily rags and a lighter, and I said, have a nice time while I'm out.
Let nature take its course, right? Mommy's going out to rock. So it's fine. But no, it was so great to see you there. And then you lured me back to your home with the promise of Robillard-style earth fruit. So here we are. And it's about time that we had you on the Flopcast. So thanks for hanging out with us. It's been a very weird, goofy evening.
Yes.
And I couldn't think of a better way to end it than hanging out with an old friend who appreciates silver spoons.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I say weird and goofy in the most affectionate possible way.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, thank you, Sarah, for finally being on the Flopcast.
Wow, that was a wild ride.
Sarah's a character. We love Sarah. And yeah, I'm not kidding. We've been talking for years about getting Sarah on the Flopcast, and we never did it until right now.
Oh, that is so great.
Yes, that was fun talking to Sarah over some earth fruit. I don't think we even said what the earth fruit was.
I thought we were just going to be left to wonder.
Yeah, I'll reveal it right now. It was like a big bowl of blueberries.
Whoa.
Which, as far as I know, came from Earth.
The big blue planet.
That's right. Mm-hmm. This whole planet is like one giant blueberry, isn't it?
I suppose. When you really think about it.
Yeah. All right, a lovely evening with God's Comics, and a lovely evening with you right now, Cornflake, but let's wrap this up.
Good plan. Well, we're at flopcast.net. That's our very own website. We're on facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter. Our handle there is @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast is where you find us.
Yes, and a quick reminder, if anyone missed the God's Comics show, it's not too late. Just pencil us in on your calendar, and we'll see you in the year 2029.
I'm going to do my best to be there.
All right, see you there.
Peace and cookies.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Okay, Cornflake, hello.
Hi.
This is, of course, the secret after show. Normally you have something for the secret after show, but I actually brought something to the secret after show this week for you. And that's that I was Turksting with my friend Matt, who's a regular Flopcast listener. I got a Turkst from Matt earlier today. As we're heading into the summer now, Matt had a suggestion. Matt wanted us to talk about Meatballs, the movie Meatballs, which we have on the show.
Didn't we do that?
We did a whole episode, didn't we, last year?
We did, because that was part of my movie resolution.
Yeah, you watched Meatballs, the movie, the 1979 Bill Murray summer camp movie Meatballs.
We got pie and everything.
We had pizza pie, we had a Flopcast movie night, and we watched Meatballs last summer. That is like Matt's favorite movie. He loves Meatballs, as do I. And he said, make sure you talk about Meatballs a lot this summer. So here's what I thought, though. There are sequels to Meatballs. Sequels which I have never seen. Three of them.
Three sequels
to
Meatballs.
They made Meatballs 2, they made 3, they made 4.
Whoa.
And Cornflake, I've never seen them. I don't think they're any good.
Yeah, I think there's a reason that most people don't know about these.
Yes, they are not well regarded.
Oh boy.
The first one's a classic.
Yes.
Parts 2, 3, and 4, far as I know, are horrible. And so...
Where are you going with this, Kevin?
I suppose you can see where I'm going with this.
I'm afraid of where you're going with this.
Do you suppose that for the first time ever, we should watch the Meatballs sequels and discuss on the show for the summer? I know it's a big challenge. I'm not saying it's going to be pleasant.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I can't say no to Matt.
So, yeah, I think we should maybe seriously consider this. If we decide it's a huge mistake and we should not do this, no one's going to know except the after show people.
That's true.
So we'll give this some thought.
Well, the after show contingent is few but vocal.
Yeah, they're on our side. They understand the struggle.
Okay.
Maybe they'll have, they can weigh in on this.
After show listeners, we're going to try not to let you down.
After show people, are you familiar with the Meatballs sequels? Are they so awful that we should not even attempt this?
Are you familiar with the Meatballs sequels? Do you want to be?
Yeah, because you will be.
You make the call.
All right. I guess the question is, are you ready to ruin the summer?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.